or something. He was, you know, he's not really that nice.
No, he's really not a nice guy. No.
He's not. So I was like, yeah, I wouldn't buy it from you anyway, but whatever.
I don't know. Whatever the case may be. But, you know, okay, Mike, we're running a little bit later because I know that we had a little technical difficulty at the beginning. But you went ahead and you started, writing a book about your experiences and what you've done so far or whatever.
Yeah,
basically what
I did is I wrote the book. I've actually had people ask me some questions about, you know, why I didn't do this or do that. The book is basically about my experience, my personal experience with Radio Sweep in working with all of you guys. And when I wrote up the history, for example, I wrote up the brief history of the Radio Sweep, I intentionally didn't go all the way back, you know, to Rowdy Eve and Meek and, you know, S-Def and all those
right.
folks. I didn't want to do that because I wanted to focus on primarily Radio Sweep, but I also wanted to focus on when it really took off, which was
right,
right around the year 2000 when Frank Sutton built his box.
Right.
And that, you know how you have the CB craze, right? CB radio
mm-hmm.
craze. Well, this was the Ghost Box craze. And that's pretty much where it took off. So I wanted to write the book in a way for people of our current time period, you know, of types of electronics we have today, and focus on that rather than go back to, you know, all the stuff in the past. And
right. I mean,
the
past stuff has been done and done and done and done. Everybody's read about that. We want to bring some current stuff to the table. That's what
right.
you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
so,
go ahead.
So I wanted to set it up to where, you know, bring a little bit of history in there, talk about the different
mm-hmm.
types of boxes to keep people to get in touch with if you have any questions. But then I wanted to talk about this process that I worked on for a couple of years. And it's the process that I use for my clients, you know, whether it's, you know, investigators or it's the people that I'm recording for, the families. But this is a process that would also work very well for paranormal investigators. You know, and it's basically, it teaches the person how to go in there, set up a recording session, how to go and set up your files, how to slice them up into smaller units and save them in the order in which they were recorded, and then document them into a Microsoft spreadsheet. And it's a process where you can actually explain it to your clients. Well, these are the messages that I got. And then if they want to know where did it occur in the raw file, you can take them back to the raw file and show them exactly where that message occurred and so forth. So I wanted to set that process up. So one, that for beginners, you know, so they could know how to do it, you know, especially the basics, which is I didn't know how to, you know,
right, and you learn
that WMA file and turn it into a WAV file.
Right, you basically
put it into a folder and, you know, and then get, you know, one of these editor, like free audio editor or Audacity.
Yeah, so you wanted to help people go about doing what you did, you know, but jumping a whole bunch of steps. Because you know, back in when we all first started, you know, doing this stuff like that, it was, you know, kind of like, oh, I tried that. No, that didn't work. Oh, okay, I tried that. That didn't work. Whatever. And finally, we worked out all the kinks and we got it all together and all the theories are in place and stuff like that. Now, you want to share that information to somebody so they don't have to go through what we went through.
Exactly. They don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right, exactly. And as
well. And that was the frustrating part for me because it was just, I was continuously badgering people. Can you help me? Can you show me this? Can you tell me that? But I wanted to make it in a written format so that someone could take it and they can go from there and make it a lot more less painful and more enjoyable, too.
Right, and what I said at the beginning of the show, I thought it was, you know, and it really is. You know, they get your book. If you're interested in the subject at all of Ghost Box communication, for those who just don't know, which I'm sure everybody knows by now, Ghost Box is kind of scans the radio and it kind of grabs bits and pieces of different, you know, audio fragments from the radio, and they're able to communicate with us, just so everybody knows what the Ghost Box communication is. But what if you're interested in that and you want to get involved, this book will actually walk you through the steps on how to do it from start to finish. like how to do a how to start the session, how to communicate with them, and how to go over the session with the audio editor. It's all in the book.
Yeah, right? Basically how to make an appointment. I mean, like I said, I remember what I told you when I first started out with that manual sweep. I didn't know how to contact my father.
Right.
Now what I do is I just have my guide go and say, hey, tell my dad to meet me at on Wednesday at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm going to talk to him.
Oh, see, that's interesting. I've never done that. Yeah, I would say
that. Yeah, that's what I do with all my clients. What I do for my clients, like, let's say a client comes to me and says, can he record with my grandfather? I'll say, okay, I need your grandfather's first and last name, and I need to know what city and state they lived in. And the reason I do that is because I actually had a couple of experiences over in Ireland. I recorded for some people in Ireland. You know, in smaller countries, the people have the same first and last names. I end up getting the wrong people. So what I do is I focus on the city and town or city and state that they lived in and the first and last name, and then I'll have my guide go and find them, and I'll say, have these people show up in my room on a set day and a set time, and please explain to them what I do and why I'm calling them, because I want to get messages for their daughter or granddaughter back to them and so forth. So basically, when these people show up, they already know what they're coming for. And it works out really well. Now, that where I told you about is Mr. O'Toole, okay, over in Ireland. I didn't ask for the city or town that he lived in. I just said, Mr. O'Toole, this girl that I'm wanting to get the message. Well, this guy shows up, and he was really rude and nasty because the girl told him that her father was a teddy bear. He was really nice, and he died of cancer. This guy that showed up was really nasty. Why am I here? Who invited me? What is this? This is so stupid. He's like,
oh my God.
So, yeah, he was really nasty. So anyways, that didn't go well. So I told the girl, she says, that's not my father. So about probably 6 months later, she called me back. She goes, can you try again? I said, okay, I'll try it again. And this time I told her, I said, I need to know the town that he lived in. And if there's an addition, if there's any way that you can also pray to him and tell him that my guide's on the contact, and that'll help too. And then the guy that showed up was really nice. And it turned out to be a really nice recording.
All right, so setting up an appointment. That could be something.
I've never tried that. Now, see, when you and I first started, we always used the technicians on the other side, the guides or whatever, right, like Mike does. But I don't really do that anymore. Do you, when you do your sessions?
No, never.
Yeah, I kind of got away from that. But we did do it for a long time, and it did work. Maybe I should try that. Like when I try to contact Dad and stuff, maybe I should try that.
Now, the technicians on the other side, you know, allegedly there's technicians on the other side. We don't know for sure. I mean, we really don't.
Right, that's kind of where we kind of started and thought that was what was going on. So,
right, I mean, there are certain people that are there more than others. You know, you start to get names over and over again, and you're like, oh, well, why am I getting that name over and over again? You know, could that be some sort of spirit technician on the other side? That's for me. Like, everybody has a guardian angel. Maybe everybody has a spirit technician. Who the hell knows? Right?
Right.
You know?
Well, that's what I had learned. When I was first grade, the nuns told me that I had a guardian angel, and I'll have it until I die. And from that point forward, I always talked to the guardian angel. And even when I was in the school, I had a test coming up. Let's say I was in an algebra test. I'd say, Guardian Angel, can you go find somebody that knows algebra really well and help me with this test?
And they bring back, like, Albert Einstein.
I did that all through high school and college. And even when my kids, they're in college now, if I know they're going to have an exam, I'll ask my Guardian Angel, like when my son graduated already, but when he was having mechanical engineering tests, I would say, can you go find a mechanical engineer and have him go sit with my son? He's taking this exam today and he needs some help.
I mean, does that stuff work? I mean, it's interesting to think that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
But you have to know who your guardian angel is, because what if you don't know?
Yeah. When I did it in college, because a lot of times when I knew I was going to take the test, I'd say the prayer, please find somebody. And I'd be like sitting there, I don't know what to do. And I'm thinking, I was like freaking out. And all of a sudden, I get a voice in my head instructing me what to do. They wouldn't give me the answers, but they would tell me what to do.
I'm sorry, Ralph
just wrote. It was
amazing. Ralph just wrote in the chat room that his guardian angel is asleep. That's pretty funny.
Well, you know, my guardian angel, I can actually now hear him now without the radio. And he told me recently, he said that the other guardian angels are jealous.
Now, how are you hearing them without backup? Because I know a lot of people want to listen to
them in my, I don't know if you call it the mind ear. The mind's ear.
I think you just came up with a new term.
The mind's ear. Mind's eye, I've heard of.
Right, the mind's eye. I think he's got the mind's ear.
He's not seeing it. He's hearing it.
I can actually hear. See, because when I first started listening to Radio Suite, I started developing the ability to hear them now without the radio. Like, and I'll tell you something that'll totally blow your socks off. This happened to me a few months ago.
Well, I don't have any socks on.
And
so
it happened to me a lot because I can hear them. But they'll call out my name. They'll yell my name out.
Like, Mike!
Like, sleep or awake. But one morning, my alarm clock went off, and I reached up, and I pushed the button, and I pulled my sheet off to get out of the bed, and all of a sudden, this voice says, okay, I'm going to get up and go downstairs now.
Now, who was that?
And I thought it was my wife. I turned, she was snoring away. I'm thinking, oh, my God, there's somebody sleeping in this bed with me.
Now...
And I actually get poked now. I get poked at nighttime.
All right. Okay? Now, what is your wife?
The sheets pulled off of me and poked.
What does your wife think of what you do? You know,
my wife's grandmother used to be a medium.
Okay, so she's on board with it.
Yeah.
I mean, some people.
Yeah, they used to have readings at her house all the time. So she's. It doesn't bother her at all. But I did find out who was poking me. Because you remember when I had my hip surgery? September.
Was it Napoleon? Because Napoleon, really, he was a poker, from what I hear.
When I had the hip surgery, I had to sleep downstairs on a cot because I couldn't go upstairs. And I kept getting poked down there. My feet were getting poked and my back. And then one night, somebody slapped my hand right off my pillow so hard that it woke me up, right?
Right.
And I stood up and I'd say, leave me alone, I'm trying to go to sleep, for God's sake, you know. So, when I finally was able to go upstairs again, I did a recording. And I did a recording of my dad. I figured, well, he'd probably know because he's always around. And I said, Daddy, I says, somebody's been hitting me or poking me and touching me. And I says, do you know who's been touching me? And I got a mess. I actually have it on YouTube.
And he said, Michael Jackson?
He says, and my dad goes, oh, I touch you. So apparently it was him.
Oh.
So I wonder if Mike has, like, some other gift that us, you know, layman ghost box users do not have.
What? Well, speak for yourself. I have it.
No, like, I don't have that. Like, some people might have, like, a little extra sensory.
But I never had it before until I got into this ghost box stuff.
I have heard that, too, but, I mean, I don't know, I'm senseless, but I don't have the extra sensory, but I can hear.
But,
I can hear what comes through, but I don't
feel. Do you have a fan in your bathroom?
Yes.
Like an exhaust fan?
Yes.
If I turn that on, I can hear them talking to me through the fan.
Wow. Yeah, I hate that fan. I want to disconnect mine. Maybe I should listen more.
So what I do now is I just don't turn it on because I don't want to hear it all the time, you know?
Well, that's the whole point of ITC and EVP and all that stuff that we do is, you know, it's based on noise and sound and audio matrixing. And it's really terrible that I used that word audio matrixing because that makes people think that we're just making stuff up, which we might. I don't know.
Well,
I don't think we are.
When I was driving in my car,
right?
I had the air conditioner on. I was by myself. I had the air conditioner on max. And just driving down this road, not much traffic on it, and I can actually hear the voices coming through the air conditioner. So I thought, this is weird. So the following weekend, after I heard that, I had to go out to Charlotte to visit my son. So I went ahead and I brought my equipment with me
right
in the car. And what I did is I had my guardian angel. I said, go out and find one of my office mate at work. He died several years ago. So I had my guide invite him to sit in the car with me on the way to Charlotte. And
yeah.
Your condition on max, and I turned I didn't use the radio. Actually, I did use radio for this one, yeah. And, no, I didn't use the radio. I used just the recorder only. And, so I did, a recording with my friend, and I actually got messages from him through the noise of the air conditioner.
That's weird.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, because I think that's the key point of what we do. It doesn't necessarily need to be radio. It could just be anything that produces some sort of raw audio that we can use and they can manipulate into making speech. I think we just have to get on board with it. They've probably been doing this for years and probably like, why can't they understand what I'm doing here? You know, and now that we're finally on key with it, where we're understanding it a little bit, I think now they're like, finally, they got it, you know? But still, there's still a minority of us who are doing this, you know? But I think they can use anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be a radio. It could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, though. It really is.
I know. It always fascinates. You know, there's still so much going on in the field, and people are always out doing, and I think, that the ghost box has become another tool in the ghost hunter's belt. I mean, you know, you could say, okay, I did an EMF test and stuff like that, which another time, another radio show, whether the EMF detectors work, I don't know. You know, it's so far-fetched.
I remember even like 2 years ago, a lot of these paranormal investigation groups, they wouldn't even touch a ghost box.
No, very true.
No, never.
It has nothing to do with it. But now they're starting to realize that it really does work. They're starting to use it now.
Well, ghost hunters still won't use it, but Ghost Adventures use it all the time.
Right. Yep. And I gave Dave Tango a ghost box. Never used it. You know, and I give people boxes on occasion. You know, back when I had a little extra money. Which I don't now. But I was giving it to certain people because I'm like, okay, well, they have TV shows, and I want to get this out to the public and let people know that it works. So if I can give it to Zach Bagans or Dave Tango on TV, and they use my box and they realize it works, how great will that be for the field that people understand that is out there and that it works? And that just didn't happen. Zach Bagans, I gave him a box, talked to him. Great guy. But I heard he auctioned off my box at a charity. So there goes that one. Dave Tango.
Oh,
yeah, Dave Tango gave the box I gave him to his father, who loves it, by the way.
Yeah, he uses it. So
he loves it, yeah.
He does a lot of stuff, so he's getting out there.
So his father, Bruce Tango, has been doing, you know, paranormal stuff since, like, the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, he's been doing this for a really long time. You know, even while he was a cop. And when he was a cop, he was interested in the paranormal, but didn't really want to, you know, tell anybody. Because, you know, you tell people you're into, like, ghosts and stuff like that, you know, 30, 40 years ago, people were not as receptive as they are now. Let's just say that.
Right.
Well, even like I've got two Facebooks. I got this Facebook, which is paranormal.
So you're two-faced.
Family Facebook, because the people that are on my family Facebook, they don't believe in this at all. And I remember when I first started posting stuff out there, my wife says, "You know, you got to get your own paranormal Facebook page because a lot of our friends and family are asking if you've gone off the deep end." You know, so
you're like, yeah, and they can join me too. It's great over here.
Well, I don't know what they're missing.
But anyway, Speaking to the Devil Radios, that's your book. Where can people go and get that?
They can get it on Amazon.com, in paperback, and on Kindle as well.
That's where I have mine, on Kindle. I'll put the link in the chat.
Yeah, I have put the link in the chat. Maybe Mike can put some gas in his car for the next month. Right, Mike? I'm pitching for you here. You know, I'm trying to help you out here. I appreciate you coming on here tonight, whatever, and talking about stuff that you do. Are you working on anything? Do you go to any of the paranormal conferences? Because, I mean, you got plenty in your area.
I really haven't had time. It's because this new job that I'm working in.